We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, now you can hear me. God, I'm like, what's going on? I'm talking to myself. No one can hear me. Everybody can hear me. All right. Well, welcome to the locker room session. We have a bit to talk about today. Jack, the reason why I wanted to do this is because, you know, Phoenix obviously up 2-0 in the conference semifinals, and they look really good. And a lot of conversations on the timeline today has been about Jay Crowder. And I kind of wanted to talk about that because I think some people may feel a certain way about the kind of him not being a part of their future or whatever. And I thought it was interesting and I kind of wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, there, I think it's just a misunderstanding of their cap situation, right? The idea that I think a lot of people are saying is that it was a binary choice between Myers and Jay. And obviously, regardless of whether it was a choice between Myers or Jay, I did not want Myers on the team going forward. I get that it was like a zero risk thing. They like had to use it or lose it, basically. So you can't really fault them for that. The Jay thing is separate entirely from whatever they did with Myers Leonard, which I think a lot of people don't fully get, which is fair because the cap is complicated and I don't fully get it either. But I only do understand it because you've told me this like 50 times in the past year.
Because it bothers me. What's up, Solana? What's up, man?
Hey, Jack. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, dude?
So I really quickly, I haven't opened up this app in probably like 5 months. And I have like 35 requests from you to join your room. And I feel terrible. I haven't been ignoring you. I swear, I just don't have push notifications on for the locker room app.
Well, Alex, the thing that I think, and Jack kind of hit on that point, and it's Riz McGiz was the one who kind of was the first one who kind of sparked this on Twitter. And it really kind of got me like a little bit annoyed. Riz tweets out, shout out to Riz, by the way, good dude. I'll never understand the Heat letting this guy walk over 3 years, $29 million and turn around and giving Myers Leonard 33% of that for 4 minutes. And to me, it's just a gross misunderstanding of what's going on with the salary cap, what they had to do. And I kind of want to explain that a little bit, Alex, because I feel like it's a little confusing to people. So they had about $22 million-ish in cap space last season. However, Goran Dragic had a $28 million cap hold. So when you have people with bird rights or, you know, when you have like certain people, certain players that are on your team have cap holds if you're going to retain them, right? That's what, when you hear the word renouncing, you're basically renouncing your rights to sign that player over the cap, which is what they had with Dragic. And that, when you have that, that there's a placeholder on your cap for that. It's called a cap hold. So Dragic had a $28 million cap hold, right? Because of the amount of years and the money that you've made in your previous contract determined that cap hold. Jack says in chat very, very eloquently, birds don't have rights. You're correct. Not yet they don't. We don't know in the future if they will have use, they'll usurp us. But Dragic essentially made the Heat have no cap space. They didn't have any real cap space. They had, unless they renounced Dragic, which they weren't going to do. So what does that mean? That means that Jay Crowder and Myers Leonard and all these guys that they had, the only way that you can re-sign them is by using their bird rights. You cannot sign them into cap space because they did not have cap space because of Dragic's cap hold. And when you sign Dragic to a deal, even that's lower than his cap hold, you still don't have enough cap space left to sign them, right? Because if you sign them for $20 million, then you only have $2 million of cap space left. So you can't really sign any free agents into cap space. So what you can only do is re-sign your guys over the salary cap and then use the mid-level exception and the biannual exception, which allows you to sign over the cap. Now, let's enter Jay Crowder. They gave Myers Leonard that, whatever, what was it, $10 million, $11 million contract because it didn't matter because they were signing him over the cap. It literally did not affect their salary cap at all. That had no bearing. The only thing that mattered about Myers Leonard's contract is how close they got to the luxury tax and the hard cap. And honestly, we don't even know if, I mean, I'm sure that Mickey Arison would have paid the luxury tax when they were contending for a title. He's always had before, right? So I don't doubt that he would have. So the only thing that really mattered there was the hard cap, and he weren't even hard capped. And the only trigger the hard cap in this scenario, they triggered the hard cap by using their full mid-level exception. So that's essentially the playing board that they were playing on. And Alex, all this to say, like, I think people have a misunderstanding that Myers Leonard's money was Jay Crowder's money when that just wasn't the case.
No, people, the way it's interpreted is the Heat chose Myers Leonard over Jay Crowder. They let Jay Crowder walk. They gave Myers Leonard the money that Jay Crowder would have gotten. That's the way it's interpreted. And trust me, I know. I do a radio show with the dumbest people in the world listening constantly because that's the way it gets perceived. And you couldn't have broken it down there better. Like, that's not the way it worked. And I saw Alf responded to Riz. And by the way, like, Riz knows what gets Heat Twitter going. So, like, I don't even know if Riz really believes, like, that his take there, right? Like, I just think he knows very well what he's doing when he tweets that out, and it gets people like us angry. And he truly is just a seasoned veteran at upsetting Heat fans, and I applaud him for it.
He's good at it.
Right. What Alf responded to him is exactly what I agree with. It's this take that I believe in as well, which is, had the Miami Heat given Jay Crowder that money, then this year they probably would have lost to Milwaukee in the first round. I guess you could make the argument that they win a couple more regular season games and whatnot. Like, maybe, you know, who knows? But the Heat probably wouldn't have gotten past Milwaukee. They probably wouldn't have gotten past, or definitely wouldn't have gotten past, Brooklyn this year in a 7-game series, regardless, because of Jay Crowder. And you find yourself in a situation where you're a little less flexible, I guess would be the word, to make something happen this offseason because of 3 years, $10 million or $11 million or whatever. So we'd be upset with the cap situation had they given it to Jay Crowder. And you've made the point that Trevor Ariza and Jay Crowder, from a numbers wise, right, statistically,
regular season. No, I mean, Jay was better.
Right,
Jay was better.
But it wasn't this huge fall off that people like to make. Trevor Ariza struggled at first when he joined the team, but I mean, he had been off for who knows how long. So I think that has to matter when you're taking account their performances. And bro, at the end of the day, Jay Crowder, he's showing us what he provides. There's more. It's more than just the 3-point shooting. There's a sort of edginess to him that he brings to your team. You saw it last night when him and Aaron Gordon get into the shoving match. Fans love that. We loved it last year. Like, I get it. I love Jay Crowder, how he showed up to the press conference. Like, he was perfect for this team. He was perfect for the way we believe the Miami Heat carry themselves, which is bleep you to everybody, middle fingers up to everybody, and keep doubting us, right? And we miss him. Like, that's fine. We can say we miss him, but you're right. Like, the way that we continue to bring up Jay Crowder and, Myers Leonard, and we put them in the same sentence, it's people being ill-informed, and it's just wrong.
It is
more than that. It's also kind of a delusion, and I think you touched on it, Alex. Like, I think Jay, definitely for a Bucks matchup, is a lot better than Trevor Ariza. He's definitely better than Trevor Ariza just flat out. The difference might be a little bit marginal. And then people kind of do the same thing with Kelly Olynyk as well. Like that trade, like I think Kelly Olynyk is a very good player and would be better than Victor Oladipo, who is not playing basketball at the moment. But the thing is, like, if you think that changes any outcome in a Heat Bucks series,
not that Heat Bucks series. Delusional.
Right. Like, right. I agree, this was never the year for this Heat team. And I don't know, like, there were maybe a couple of flashes where you said you could have said, hey, maybe the Heat can replicate what they did last year. But on the whole, there was no chance of that happening. It just wasn't their year. And I'm sorry, that sucks. And I'm not happy about it. But like, Jay Crowder doesn't fix that as much as I like him.
It's laughable. Really, really quick, G. It's laughable. Like, you know what fixes the Heat Bucks series this year? Steph Curry. Kevin Durant. Right? Like, really, like,
what? No, yeah. Prime Victor Oladipo.
No, not even prime Victor Oladipo. Prime Victor Oladipo is not the difference between the Heat getting swept in four games, obviously.
That's true.
And three of those four games were by more than 10 points. Like, the only players in the NBA that make up that type of difference, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, like,
Jokic.
That's it. Like, the top five, right? Like, that's right. And that's the whale.
Justice Winslow.
If you listen, Justice Winslow, of course, right? Okay. And Mario Chalmers, perhaps. But if you listen to yesterday's podcast, you'd be able to take anything from it. I'm sure Frankie made at least one good point to the Heat podcast. That's the question that I asked yesterday. Like, is a whale a possibility, or is the Heat's next move just let's try to get better in any way possible? And clearly, you're not getting one of those top five guys. You're not getting Steph Curry, so it doesn't matter. Like, Jay Crowder didn't matter. But Jack, I do think that. Which I saw somebody respond through that Riz text, which was, he helps you win a couple more regular season games, which I think that's fair.
Yeah,
if we're looking at it from both sides, I do think that's fair. I don't know if that means the Heat don't play the Bucks in the first round, whatever. I don't think it matters, because you're not better than Brooklyn. Like, you're just not. If Brooklyn's healthy, yeah, or at least two of those three guys are better, with Jay Crowder, without Jay Crowder, with Myers Leonard, even with a healthy Victor Oladipo, this season, the Heat, whether it was because of a short off season or whatever, they were not going to be better than Brooklyn, and they were probably not going to be better than Milwaukee. So it doesn't matter. It's just, we're mad because we got swept. We're mad we're not in the playoffs anymore. Let's continue to bring up past, things that should have just been laid to bed already.
Yeah. Mr. Toledo.
I'm just going to talk. Well,
yeah, talk. Yeah.
Alex is not doing anything. I think the extra regular season wins argument's legitimate. Like, they definitely
would beat the
Knicks in a series, I think. I don't have any question about that. But it's also, like, you get to the second round, you get swept, or you lose in five games to the Nets. That's still a failure of the season for a team that went to the finals. And honestly, if you can hope for anything with this Heat team, it's that they get the longest offseason possible. I know, that's not a fun thing to say. And obviously, if I had the choice between being a second round out and a first round out, I'd pick the second round out. But the differences are so marginal that it's really just not even a thing.
I agree. I mean, like, I think this is a team that needed help around the margins, but I think bigger than that, their rim pressure went through the toilet this season. And I don't think Jay Crowder particularly helps their offense in a way that's significant enough to fix it from being bottom of the league to good.
Bottom line, last year, Tyler Hero meant so much to this Heat team, right? This Heat offense. He did. Like, there were stretches where Tyler Hero was unbelievable. And certainly there were games where he was just okay. He was himself last year, but he helped. The three-point shooting helped. The fact that teams had to focus on him defensively, right? Like, they actually had to start scouting for him, and they were worried about him coming off of the screen. And it was Duncan and Tyler on each opposite end, and Jimmy and Bam doing work in the middle. Like, that mattered. And this year, Tyler Hero was a total non-factor. I'm not trying to pick on him, but like,
no, yeah, that's fair.
His, you know, the fact that he didn't take the next step, and he clearly took a step backwards this year. The fact that Kendrick Nunn showed us again in the playoffs, he's just not somebody you can rely on to be consistent. Like, all of those things played a part this year in what we saw, which was the worst possible outcome, the Heat losing in four.
their offense, I mean, Jay was a part of their offense too, because when people would try to hide defenders on Jay Crowder, because, you know, Jay would just kind of stand on the wing and shoot, Miami would then counter by then having Jay kind of trigger handoff sets. And he was just a lot better than Iguodala at that, than Ariza at that, any whoever they would kind of plug in at their power forward. So he does help in that element. But you're right. I mean, the dynamic kind of thing that Tyler gave you last season, when, you know, he would come off that handoff, especially in the bubble, was a threat to attack and pick and roll off the dribble. They just had a little bit more dynamicity in their offense last season that they didn't have this season. Part of that's Tyler, part of that's Goran, a lot of that's Goran, I think. Part of that's, you know, there's a lot of reasons. It's not just one guy and it's not just Jalen. Right. It's a combination of things, but, you know, it's just been a little frustrating to see people kind of be upset at like the Leonard thing, which I get it. It's a little confusing if you don't understand the way the salary cap works, but it just had nothing to do with Jay Crowder. Absolutely nothing. And to me, that was like the big thing. I'm like, whoa, this is a huge misunderstanding. And I do think that the organization deserves flack for how they handled the offseason. And I'll say this, if they got Jay Crowder, if Jay decided to stay, they wouldn't have had to sign Mo Harkless, right? So they might have not even used the full mid-level exception. Or maybe they would have gotten somebody else, maybe a center, right? So, like, you know, the idea of them not keeping Jay Crowder, which would mean that they wouldn't have tried to get that kind of wing 3-4 kind of player, so they could have focused more on maybe an Ibaka or another kind of big man or a guard or whatever. So it is what it is. You know, we're going to take some questions here. Curtis, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, guys, doing great. I think with Myers, we have to look at really his contract took the place of what could have been Heat legend Solomon Hill in that role. Mm-hmm. And not even kidding. I think, you know, Solomon played much better in the finals than any of Myers' minutes. And he would have been more deserving of the 1-year bloat contract and would have actually got run. But I want to come back to Jay real quick. I don't. Yeah, I think Jay is a very dynamic, full of dynamism. no, but I think beyond this season, like, Jay's 30 years old, and I think there's a pretty good bet that he's going to give you that same type of contribution. Like, I think he's one of the ultimate 3-and-D forwards, and I think you could expect that for the next 4 years. And I do think if we would have retained Jay, I do think that kind of just plugs that hole for us very cleanly. At that role, we need guys like Jay. You know, he reminds me of like James Posey in some ways, right? Those guys, those gritty players you need on a championship squad, where, you know, going into this offseason, that remains a huge question mark for us. And then secondly, even if you want to move off of Jay, that's a very tradable contract. There's a lot of teams that would take him. So I do think the mistake was made there, where we put too much stake into the Giannis sweepstakes. And keep in mind, already heading into that offseason, we knew there was a lot of word that Giannis was going to stay with Milwaukee. We already knew that Bam was going to sign that extension, right? They knew that, at least. So I do think that's where the mistake was made, where they wanted to play it safe with cap space rather than retaining a guy who could be a core piece for the, you know, next couple of years, or even a guy that you could easily move off of if you need to.
Absolutely. And Curtis, I guess the other thing, and Alf brought this up today on the timeline, it's, you know, having Jay probably prevents you from creating enough cap space to add a real difference maker like a Lowry or whatever, right? Whatever big name they're going to go after in free agency this season. So, you know, the flexibility wasn't just for Giannis. It was just in general. They can get up to $28 million in cap space this summer. So that's not insignificant. They can get a legit difference maker with that kind of salary while keeping a guy like Duncan. So that's I think that's something that's important as well when we talk about this. And, like, I don't know, man, I think you just kind of tossed this season in the toilet. It was just kind of a shit show from start to finish. Everybody got sick. It was just, how can you really extrapolate anything relevant from what happened this year? I don't know.
I think there are micro things you can extrapolate, right? Like, I think you're really encouraged by Duncan's development. You're really encouraged by Bam's development, but you also have run into this kind of other big issue, which is the big hurdle for his future development, I guess, which is, you know, his aggression. And maybe that's a scheme thing. But, like, so I think in those ways, there are definitely like things to take away from this season. But beyond that, it's kind of a lost season for the whole NBA unless the Suns win.
Don't count out my nuggets. Don't count out my nuggets.
Our nuggets and our nuggets. Sons.
Jokic. Not your sons, not my sons. Alex, what's up, man?
Not your sons.
Nah.
This is an incredibly likable team. How do you not like this team?
I'm committed Gianni, to Justice Better.
Gianni's a contrarian now.
Yeah, no.
Justice just, Better doesn't mean dunk. Doesn't mean Booker's not great.
I know Booker's great. I just have to eat it. I know. I'm the last
one. If you're rooting against the late Suns because of Devin Booker, that you're reaffirming something we don't want.
No, you're right. I know. I gotta swallow my pride. Alex, I don't know. Are you? I love CP. Alex, are you as upset by like the Jay Crowder tweets as I am? Like, the reason I'm doing this is because I saw them and I'm like, you know what? I'm a little upset by this. I'm a little annoyed at these misunderstandings.
No, I get what you mean. And, you know, we've talked about it so many times. I get why you felt the need to clear it up, especially with your nature of being the well actually guy. And
my nature.
It's definitely in your nature. It's what makes you a great podcast host. But really, like, I think the one way to really, really easily sum it up is Jay Crowder wouldn't have made the difference. Like you guys were saying, you know, you went through it. You guys broke it down. But he's a little bit better than Ariza on offense.
Yes.
Ariza's better, a little bit better at the small things on defense, right? Yep. Like, I just think that's pretty much the easiest way to sum up. But it's, like, marginal stuff. Like, I would like both of them. I would... If their rotation had both of them, that would be cool, you know. And one more big, I would be nice. I would be sold with that. But you know, the difference between one or the other to me isn't there's not a huge difference. And you know, it would have been nice if they could have used that money on somebody else instead of Myers, just because it's Myers. But yeah,
it just looks funny. But I don't like.
It doesn't really fuck up their flexibility.
It doesn't. And I don't think it would have changed the season in a wholesale way anyway. So I don't know. I don't really see. I get why people are upset and it happens. Somebody in chat says, well, what did they say? Crowder signs a 3-for-29 and Bam doesn't sign the extension. And you're probably in the same boat in terms of cap space. The difference is adding the extension, which is probably what Jay would have been on the books. It's neither here nor there. But I don't know, man. I think Bam wanted his money. And I think that we know that he was pretty interested in having his money. And he signed that before the young. I don't know. I don't. It's tough to look at like that.
Everybody else.
And I don't think it was the wrong thing. I mean, Andy Ellisberg essentially created a trade exception out of nothing. With the Myers contract. What's up? This.
So I don't know what kind of reaction this is gonna get, but if they paid Dwayne Wade like back then in what, like the summer of 2016,
and not Tyler
if they
Johnson,
pay him, does Bam still take the contract? Like is
they
he
might,
like,
they
he
might not have had they might not have gotten Bam.
What?
They might not have got. Huh?
I think they would have gotten Bam. Bam was because available. They weren't
30-11. That was a 30-11 season. They might have been too good. They probably don't sign Dion because they had Dion was the kind of shooting guard replacement for Dwayne.
He wasn't good that year, though.
Huh?
He was not a good NBA player that year. Like
he was no. He that stop it.
He wasn't that good. Like
maybe they would have been even worse, and they would have taken somebody else.
I think they would have probably ended up in around the same place. And it's not like they were out of range for, like, they took Bam high anyway. Like, Bam was their guy. They liked him. Yeah. They were going to get him no matter where they were unless they were in, like, Tatum range.
Yeah, Bam was supposed to go a lot lower than he took him at, just like Tyler.
Yeah,
Bam was like a 20s prospect.
Yeah.
Tyler, exactly. He was a lower prospect than Tyler, I think. Like, I think Tyler going at whatever he went at was high, but like only by a few picks. I don't remember Bam even being one of the top bigs available, according to draft people.
No, yeah, that remember that came out as a total surprise, in which a very famous NBA podcaster and writer compared him to Epe Udo. So I mean, we were all bamboozled, run astray, run amok. I know it's just was funny.
He said, you're trying to win now, so like why not get the cheap center option and get like the immediate need? Like nobody knew Bam was gonna be able to.
The fact that Zach Lowe said that's incredible. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but so like I don't know. Jay's good. Jay's had an amazing season.
Can they get to be their backup five? Can they get FK Udo to be the backup five? Can they get
right FK now? You don't like Mr. Deadman?
Hey man.
I'm in on Mr. Dedmon. I'm all in on Mr. Dedmon. I think he's what they need. I don't, you know, something that Jay helps them out with that's a little underrated is their rebounding a little bit. And I've been, you know, Alex and I were talking earlier today, like, I don't really think that the Heat really need to address their rebounding issues in like a very acute way. But I do think that, like, you know, you get a guy like Lowry, who's a good rebounder, you get a power forward who's a bit of a better rebounder than Ariza, you kind of improve on the margins. And I think that'll get you to at least league average in terms of rebounding. Bam led the league in box outs. Solana, did you know that?
Bam did?
Yeah. Which is funny because
I didn't know that.
The rebounding criticism, I think, is dumb with him.
Like, the Heat play at like one of the slowest paces in the league, and somehow Bam ends up the top box outer.
I'm dumb when it comes to like basketball stats. Like I'm a simpleton. I know you guys are all like reading NBAstats.com all the time, and you know all my like
that's just me.
And, yeah, I know. But I didn't even know like they calculate, like they recorded a statistic for box outs. Like,
Bam Adebayo had 252 total box outs this season. G. The top five is Enes Kanter, Jonas Valanciunas, Robin Lopez, and Steven Adams. So
whose job is it to track that every game? Like, there's somebody whose job
that is those are the cameras, the sports tech cameras that do all, so they track deflections, loose balls, screen assists, right? So that's all like these cameras, and these are data points that are inputted into a computer, and then
I like Solana, like imagining that someone's just logging individually.
That's how it used to be. Somebody used to do that, like just count. It's just like a Nikias, you know. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's interesting because, like, I do think that they do the little things on defense are just like a little small. And I do think that their switching kind of throws them out of whack. But I think a guy like Jay kind of helps them on the margins a little bit in that end. So that's why, I mean, he would have helped them. He won't fix the thing that was their biggest concern, which is their offense fucking sucked this year because nobody could get to the basket. And that no amount of Jay Crowder culture was going to get you there. None. You know, like I don't know, Frankie.
We miss Bubble Goron, man. We keep talking about an elite player, but Bubble Goron is what we miss the most.
It's not Bubble Goron, I don't think.
It's Bubble Goron. I agree. 20 points, five assists, a consistent rim presence, a three.
Not just Goron. Bubble Goron. Goron
that's
all
I'm
last
that's
year.
Offensive to Goron.
Consistent pull up.
Yeah, Goron was fucking awesome last year. The step back three last year was a weapon that he just did not have this season. His isolation numbers last year. Huh?
I feel like he always had an answer for however they were defending him, whether it was to attack, whether it was to take the step back three, you know, the pull up off the screen. Like, he was not really that effective at those aspects this season. I feel like it was
Goran Dragic
for him to be a
was the second
worst heat year. Like, by Goran, a lot, like, he's been a borderline all-star every year he's been with us. And, like,
no,
this is the first.
Bubble Goron, I'm not comparing Bubble Goron to, like, old Goron of years past. Bubble Goron was way better than he was in the regular season. He was doing it against starters. He was coming off the bench because he couldn't get by anybody. And he was doing it against everybody in isolation and pick and roll in transition. It didn't matter. Bubble Goron was a monster.
To Frankie's point, Goron in the playoffs last season, the second best isolation player in the entire league, ahead of Jamal Murray, who went nuts, ahead of Giannis, ahead of Anthony Davis, ahead of James Harden, ahead of LeBron James, ahead of Jimmy Butler, ahead of Jokic, ahead of CJ McCollum, ahead of Paul George, ahead of Kawhi. That's incredible.
But
he was also the Heat's best player, wasn't he?
He played better in the playoffs this year too. Like, he was awful in the regular season this year. And he at least gave the Heat games in the playoffs.
Goron was doing it against good defenders too. He did it against Brogdon, Depot, Bledsoe. He was doing it all series against everybody.
And even this year, I don't know if he wasn't good in the playoffs this year. Like, when the Heat needed a bucket, Goran Dragic couldn't deliver. And I'm with Frankie, like, calling a Bubble Goron. I don't think that's a slight to playoff Goron or Goron of the past. Like, he was the Heat's best player last year over the course of the entire playoffs.
I don't know about that, but it's close.
Best scorer.
I think so.
He's their best mate.
Guys,
maybe you can pull up more stats to prove me wrong, but like just overall, I think he was the best player.
I love the passive aggression.
I mean, come on.
He's the most consistent offensive presence.
Yeah.
For sure, he's their most consistent offensive player. Come on.
No, so wait. So in the regular season last season, Goran Dragic was statistically a better isolation player than James Harden. Obviously, the volume's not the same. Dragic per isolation, 1.13 points per possession. James Harden, 1.12 points per possession. Again, Harden's volume is just insane, and that's like a negligible difference. Harden's obviously, but like just points per possession.
And Goran did that mostly against bench second unit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In the right.
And the 3-point shooting was really good last year. The step back three was there, like as I've said. So, I mean, he was really, really good last season, not just in the bubble. But in the regular season as well. I mean, he was great. And again, that two-man game with Jay was also really good and important. I mean, he was a really, really good player last season. And they've, I think more than anything, they miss him. He was last year a point per possession as a pick and roll ball handler. Again, in the top 20 in the league, Miami's best pick and roll ball handler. So they just miss a lot of those elements from him that they just didn't have. And, you know, and I understand fans being upset, right? You know, you watch this team and you see them struggle to score. You see them have like a little bit less edge than they should, all that stuff. And I get it. And I understand that Jay Crowder is a legit difference maker for them. He would change some of that. But this team had so many issues that are so deeply rooted that a guy like Jay was just not going to fix that. A fresh face and an attitude change was just not going to fix what was wrong with them. And I think that people just didn't understand the salary cap situation and they were upset at the organization when I thought that they did a really good job considering with what they lost. And also, Alex, and you might be able to comment on this. I mean, we just got old. Pat just got rid of all the 4-year, 3-year contracts he handed out. He's just going to fall in love with the first guy and give him another 3-year deal. How was that going to land? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I don't think there was any doubt that was not going to happen. Especially with where we were last year. I know you guys talked about it. It's just like it was very different. It was more about flexibility, and maybe that was the wrong thing with, you know, looking back at it, maybe the wrong way approach to go about it. But I just think the way, you know, the guys that they actually went with, you know, in their path to flexibility were just not good. Like Avery Bradley in theory could have been a helpful guy, but they just needed way more than what they got. Like Mo Harkless could not fill even a fraction of what Jay
could not be worse, you know, if he tried.
Like if you could have brought on like an Ariza type or somebody else who could actually play in that role, doesn't need to be a star in the role, but who could play in that role, I think that would have been a nice help. But it still wouldn't have, you know, the holes are the holes. I think we didn't really figure out until I feel like midway through the season that Goran really just wasn't the same player that he was in the bubble. And I don't know, man, like there's just so many holes to talk about that this Jay thing is just one of them. And I thought we got past it. I thought we got past it at this point. Like, I'm happy for him in Phoenix, and I'm glad he ended up there because they're about to get to the finals.
Oof. Wow, that's a proclamation.
Go Suns.
Is anybody else uncomfortable with Dwayne Wade congratulating Rudy Gobert on a defensive player of the year?
No,
God.
Just let him enjoy it.
I know. No, it's not for Dwayne. He's doing the right thing.
It's just the Gobert thing.
Are we watching the Cube?
Oh, I'm watching the Cube. Who's watching the Cube? My family is so fucking excited for the Cube tonight. My mom's like, we're watching the Cube, right? My mom loves Dwayne Wade.
I don't believe it's a real show. It's like one of those fake shows they make up in 30 Rock. Just, it doesn't seem like a real premise.
It's like an SNL sketch.
I don't get what it is. I thought it was something The Onion made up.
Yeah. It's,
Jack, are you going to watch it?
I just really liked the tweet he sent out today where he said, I'm really excited to show you all the Cube. And
did you see the preview?
It sounds funny.
The GameCube.
I have no clue what it's
What on. Time is it?
I don't.
Jack, can you live tweet the Cube? Can you watch? Like, remember when you live tweeted Tank? Man, when you live tweeted Hassan Whiteside's episode of Tank, it's still my favorite Heatbeat content ever.
That's odd, but
did you see an interview with Rohan?
What happened?
Dwayne had an interview with Rohan on FRSI.
Again?
Yeah, about the Cube and
God damn, Rohan.
He goes, he told Rohan he thinks he could be a great game show host.
Okay. Well, I gotta have Rohan on next week. I just saw this. Wow. Okay. Yeah, we gotta read this and have Rohan on
Curtis, next week. Maybe. Curtis suggested you guys do hangover time after the Cube.
Oh my god, that would be such a good idea. That's a good idea.
Everybody has to watch it. Everybody who's on has to watch it.
Oh my god, that would be so great. Okay, I'm gonna tell Alf just a fucking Cube. Aren't there playoff games tonight?
Fuck that. The Cube is on.
Oh yo, fuck that. Dwayne going up again.
I gotta see that.
Three-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade is on TV.
What time is the Cube on? What time?
I just looked it up. 9 p.m. on TBS.
9 p.m. Eastern time. So what?
That hurts.
What game? So the Bucks Nets tonight. Bucks. Damn, yo, Dwayne's really, because the people that would watch the Cube are also basketball. Oh my god, Sixers.
There's two games. Like, okay, damn.
So Bucks, Nets, and then Clippers, Utah. Two important games. That Clippers, Utah game, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be really important to see who wins that game, because whoever wins that game is going to have a real, a much better shot of winning that series, I think.
That's actually true, Jack. Solid. Like,
well, yeah, I know.
No, it is. That's a very could go either way take, but like he's right. What's like the stat? Game two is
whoever wins game two wins the series 74% of the time.
Those stats are insane. Those stats don't make any sense. It's like that statistic about how like most accidents happen like within a mile of your home. It's because that's where like most of the time you're driving is within a mile of your home.
You know, I think about that every time I drive home like at 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, I'm almost home, and I go, wait a second. This is when it's gonna happen. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No, yeah, right.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Okay, real quick before we go.
The day in Miami. Way.
Oh no! It's these people. These people are insane. I'm glad I don't have to take the 95 South anymore. I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, that place is a screaming metal death trap. The
narrow ass lanes, bro.
God damn, Miami. I do
820. Well, I do 878. Kendall Drive to 878.
The fuck is 878?
826.
Oh, you don't know 878.
I've never heard of that. It's like an extension, basically, extension to the Palmetto.
Yeah.
It's Kendall's way to get to the Palmetto.
Then I take it.
Wow.
I'll
tell you, Kendall's not really Miami.
Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Palmetto to 836, 836 East to 95 North. And then on my way back, it's 95 South to 836, 836 to 826 Palmetto home. So I drive.
You must be in a car for 6 hours a day.
Dude, it's the worst, man.
That sounds horrible. Okay, before we go, I saw a tweet today, and it was the Ray Allen shot that gets tweeted every once in a while. I always watch it, and I'm delighted. And for some reason, I remembered how the Spurs accidentally subbed Tim Duncan in at the end of that. Do you guys remember that? The illegal sub of Tim Duncan after Ray Allen's three during the review.
I think about that constantly.
Could you imagine if Duncan had like scored a game winner? What would have happened?
Nothing would have happened because they were already cheating against the Spurs.
Which game was this again?
The AC thing was on purpose. I'm sorry. Like, do we still have to pretend like it could go either way there?
No.
100% Pop is a cheater.
Yeah, Pop's a cheater.
Yeah. Greg Belichick.
Greg Bell. Yeah, no, but I mean, no, but I mean, this was a different series, but still, it's just like, damn, they really just illegally subbed in a Hall of Famer in a, I don't know. I thought about that today again. That was game six. So that was after Ray Allen hit the shot and they were reviewing if it was a two or a three. And it's not technically a timeout, so you can't sub a player.
Right. It's supposed to be a technically the rule is a technical foul. So the Heat should have been awarded a free throw. And essentially you would have avoided overtime, which I struggled between what would have been the better ending, because the Chris Bosh block of Danny Green in the corner to me is a legendary Heat moment, right? Big three, Chris Bosh, one of the best moments too, the block.
Yep.
But how much greater would it have been to win in that controversial way? And people would have hated the Heat even more.
Blocked by Bosh, so be a game seven. That's fucking iconic.
It is, but it would have been funny, and it would have even tarnished Greg Belichick's record in that game even more, because people are already upset the fact that he subbed Tim Duncan out, but would have made it even better had the entire game gone to shit because he subbed Tim Duncan back in illegally and then he were awarded a technical.
That's the thing, though. In my head, I imagine it going the other way. I'm imagining that fucking over the Heat completely. And it's just like we're complaining about it until the end of time and then complaining about how we should have won two titles with the Big Three instead of one. Like, that's what I'm imagining. But maybe I'm just being, you know, a little bit. They would have got away with it just like they did with the AC.
If it wasn't for these meddling kids.
Pop is the meddling kid.
Curtis says, because Curtis likes Zoe's 100 blocks in game six versus the Mavs. I still think Chris Bosh's block by Bosh is still my favorite block in Heat playoff history. Although Zoe's in game six where he spazzes out on the floor, that was fucking iconic. But I don't know. Maybe Leif will get mad at me for not picking a Zoe one.
It's got to be the block for Bosh's block. Come on, that mattered more.
That shit was iconic. I mean, that saved the game.
Danny Green literally hits that shot for sure.
Every time against the Heat. Every fucking time. Want to thank everybody for stopping through. I know we've been doing these more impromptu in the afternoon, but I thought this was a fun topic to get to. I think we're going to post this one on the main feed today. I want to try out a new setup, see how the audio sounds like with my mic as opposed to from my phone. So kind of a little bonus extra on the podcast feed. Normally we post these to patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. So check out there, subscribe for all the extra content, including a newsletter and everything else that we provide to you on Patreon. So guys, have a great rest of the day. I think we're going to have a locker room for you tomorrow. Jack, I think, is going to host one. And we're gonna have fun, man. This off season keeps going and going. We will find stuff to meme, to be petty about, and to talk about.
It never stops.
Take care, everybody. Enjoy your Thursday. Go Nuggets. Go Nuggets.
Later.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.